Lord, we're so grateful, we're so thankful that you deserve all the glory, Lord. You deserve it, Lord, because you are the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. And listen, family, you got to worship something. You got to believe in something. You got to trust something. The song says, God, you deserve our worship. You deserve our trust. You deserve our faithfulness. You deserve everything, Lord, our whole heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, because you are God, and beside you, there is no other. Thank you, Lord, because you got to worship something. You got to believe in something. And Lord, there's none like you, and you deserve it. Not only this morning, but each and every morning, the highest praise. Seven times a day, the psalmist says in Psalms 119, 163, I will praise you seven times a day. He makes a note of it. It's intentional, family. Make sure your praise is intentional. When you get up, you should have been praising God this morning, number one, for waking up. And then just think about all the things you have to be grateful for. Don't think about what you don't have. Think about what God has done and what you do have. Health and strength, your right mind, the ability to move and to reason and to think. God, you deserve it. Thank you, because apart from God, we can do nothing. And if God didn't give us the strength to get up this morning, we couldn't have got up. So, Lord, you do deserve it. So grateful and so thankful this morning. Remember, please be engaged in the service. Please have your physical Bible. Take notes. And you should have Psalms 119, 163 written down. Seven times a day, I will praise the Lord. That should already be written down. Look it up for yourself. And just think about and meditate on that daily, that God deserves your praise and the glory. I want to thank you so much for your giving. It gives us the opportunity just to take the gospel literally around the world. So grateful for that. If you're on your desktop, your laptop, go to southbayalc.com. Go ahead and push the giving icon and then give accordingly. On your phone, go to southbayalc.com, push the three bars. And then go ahead and give accordingly. And if you're still writing checks like me and you're mailing it in, you want to address the check to SBALC, South Bay Abundant Life Church, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Long Beach, California, 90807, Suite B-279. That's 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279. Long Beach, California, 90807. I want to encourage you all to attend Bible study this Wednesday, 6:30 to 7:30. We are in 1 Kings chapter 8. We're going over the prayer of Solomon. We did half of it last week. We're going to do the other half this week. It is one of the most incredible prayers in the Bible. If you want to see a model of prayer, please join us, or even go on your own and then join us just to discuss just the incredible power and the things and the power, the process, and the procedures of prayer. Solomon gives us a blueprint on how to pray and how to go to God and how to get results. So as I was going over it this week, God's been into my heart that we underestimate the power of prayer. Family, 1 Kings chapter 8, read it today. And then come join us. You will be so glad you did. We just had an incredible prayer, worship, and word service last Wednesday night. The Holy Spirit just came in and just touched our hearts and just let us know how important prayer is and how awesome God is. So please join us, 1 Kings chapter 8, this Wednesday. All the coordinates are on the website, southbayalc.com. It'll give you all the Zoom coordinates. And then if you, speaking of prayer, if you would give us the privilege to pray for you, because we don't underestimate the power of prayer. We know what God can do. Please send us an email, life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. And we want to thank those of you that have sent in your prayer requests, your prayer needs, and also your praise reports. It's a privilege, family. I mean, it's not anything we take lightly. So a lot going on these days. People need prayer. People need help. And we're so privileged and thankful to be able to provide that prayer support and rejoice with you when you send in the praise reports as well. And then make a note, next Sunday, we have a members meeting. Next Sunday, members meeting, 2 p.m. And I'll be getting out the Zoom coordinates to all the members. If you just recently became a member or you'd like to become a member, send us an email, life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. Send the email requesting membership and we'll tell you the procedures and the process to becoming a member of South Bay Abundant Life Church. We will also have a few of our missionaries that are out in the world that we support, and they're going to give a report. So members, you want to be there. You want to see just the things that God is doing through South Bay Abundant Life Church, and you're a part of that because of your prayer support, because of your giving, because of your membership. So rejoice in that, knowing that, you know, we're really out trying to make a difference in the world, and we are. And we'll have some reports via Zoom from our missionaries on next Sunday. Members meeting starts at 2 p.m. Let's get into the word. It is time to hear from God and get our instruction, get our blueprint. So let's just pray. Lord, give us instruction this morning. Your word says in Psalms 119, 105 that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path, Lord. Your word is a lamp. It's a light. It illuminates the way. In Psalms 119, 160, it says that the word of God is guaranteed by God. So we thank you for the guarantee of the word, the light of the word, the lamp of the word. Psalms 119, 89 says that your word is established in heaven. It's already settled. It's finished. It's done, God. We just have to live it out, be obedient and live it out. So, Lord, speak to us through your word this morning, God. We need to hear from you. So much noise going on. We want to disconnect from the noise of the world, Lord, and we want to connect with the word of God, Lord. We don't need opinions and thoughts, God, and conspiracy theories. We need the word of God this morning. God, we open our heart and our mind to receive your word. Holy Spirit, lead, guide, teach your people this morning. Give us instruction, Lord, on how to live, how to forgive, God, how to navigate through this world, Lord. Give us the instruction. How do we apply the word to our life? Holy Spirit, teach us this morning. And we love you for it, God, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. The book of Jonah, chapter 1. Please open your Bibles to the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Beginning at verse 1. We've been talking about the Good Shepherd, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, the Good Prophet, the Good God, the Good King, the Good Priest, as opposed to a false prophet, a false priest. And so we were in the book of Acts and we saw how Paul and Silas, how they were delivered in the midnight hour when they were singing praises and praying. And then they looked out for the jailer. They didn't forget, although God delivered them, they didn't forget about the jailer. The jailer who was part of the oppressive system that had arrested them and beat them. They cared about him enough to save his life and then introduce him to Jesus Christ. And not only did Paul and Silas save his life, but then Jesus Christ was able to save his soul. So think about that. So God's teaching us as disciples of God, as ambassadors of Christ. We can't pick and choose who we go and minister to because maybe we don't like the way they look or the way they talk or the way they act or where they're from or what side of the political aisle they're on. God doesn't give us that option. God doesn't discriminate and neither do we. We are ambassadors of Christ. We are followers of Christ. We are representatives of Christ, sent out by Christ. We don't have that option. So then that led us, as we were studying what Paul and Silas was doing, that led us to the book of Jonah, where Jonah gets a word from the Lord, but he decides that he's not going to go and minister to those people because he doesn't like them. He could care less if they died or went to hell. And God is telling us this day, that is not our option. We don't have that luxury. We have to go and minister to the whole world. Jesus said you would go to the uttermost places after you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you would teach them about Jesus Christ and the resurrection, the guarantee and the fact of the resurrection. So that folks can be saved, rescued, delivered, set free from death, hell, sin, and the grave. And so Jonah said, I'm not going to do it. So we pick up the commentary in Jonah 1:1. And it says, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So make a note before we go on. Well, let's read verse 2. It says, arise, which means stand up and go. God is telling us to stand up and go. It doesn't matter if you stand up and go in the opposite direction. It matters that you stand up and go where God is telling you to go. That's why it's so important to pray daily, to seek God's face. God, what is my method? The assignment never changes. Go and minister to people that are lost and need to have hope and know that there is a savior of the world and his name is Jesus Christ. That's the assignment. Introduce them to Jesus Christ. The word says that one man plants, another person waters, and then God gives the increase. So God sends us out. Now, Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 5:14 says, you're the light of the world. Now, he passed the baton to us. So we have to go as light in the midst of darkness. And we can't pick and choose. So we go out as light into the world. And we have to go to everyone. We can't pick and choose because of who they are, where they come from, or their gender, or their sexual orientation, or the color of their skin, not as ambassadors of Christ. We do not represent ourselves. We've been bought with a price. It tells us that in the book of 1 Corinthians, we've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We're now representatives of Christ. We have to go out. So when you stand up and you get up as God is telling Jonah, then we have to go where God is telling us to go. So you and I should be praying. Remember, the assignment doesn't change. The method might be different. You might have your job. It could be your job. You could it could be when you're at the gym. It could be when you're at the store. The method might change, but the assignment never changed. You should never have to ask God, what is my purpose in life? Your purpose is to go out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with each and every one that you encounter. And you do it in love, and you do it from a place of humility, and you do it as a servant. And you introduce them to Jesus Christ. What a great time to introduce people to Jesus Christ today. Simple as saying you need the King of Kings more than you need a president. Presidents come and go and die and fade away, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will never fade away. And that's what you tell people. That's what you put your hope and trust in. When they ask you, what do you think about the election? I'm okay with it because I serve a king. I'm sorry. I serve the King of Kings who doesn't fade, who doesn't die, who's a resurrected savior. So I'm always trusting in God and I appreciate people and I'm praying for people. But my hope, my confidence, my trust is in my savior, the Lord and savior of the world, which is Jesus Christ. So use your opportunity, tell them in a loving way and just have casual conversation. And then you tell them God bless you and you planted that seed, someone else will water. And then in due time, if it's God's will, God will give the increase. Verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. God is telling Jonah, get up and go. Go to Nineveh. Their wickedness, they're out of control. It's a great city with great people, sort of like the United States, sort of like your city. You fill in the blank. Go to your city. I don't know, what is it? Compton, LA, Watts, Gardena, Orange County. You go to your city, you go to your county, you go to your state, you go to your place, Atlanta, Virginia, we're broadcasting now. Whatever city you're in, you go there, you fill in the blank because it's a great city. And God says they need to be saved. Great people in a great city need a great God to save them. He says, get up and go. But Jonah had some issues. Jonah wanted to pick and choose where he went. Let me share with you some of the issues, and it's some of them we have. But let me give Jonah credit first. He was in a position to hear the word of the Lord. So give him credit. Jonah was a prophet. He was close to God, and he was in a position to hear from God. He just didn't like what he heard this time, right? But we can't pick and choose what God says. Go minister to that person. Go buy that person something to eat. Pay for that person's groceries. You see them struggling in front of you. You tell that cashier, the Lord speaks to you and say, hey, you tell the cashier, I got this. Go ahead, ma'am. God bless you. Listen, see, sometimes we don't like what God's telling us, but we need to be dialed in so we can hear. And then we have to be obedient to the voice of God. So Jonah, give him credit. He was in position to hear from God. He just didn't like what he heard. God's telling us, do something for the homeless. Do what you can. Feed somebody who's hungry. He said, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. It's about servanthood. It's about hearing from God. It's about serving people that don't look like you, that don't act like you, that don't smell like you, that don't come from where you come from. And they could be great. And you can't be intimidated by their greatness, because regardless of how great they are, they need a great God to save them. Otherwise, they'll die and spend a Christless eternity in hell. So don't be intimidated by their greatness. God's telling Jonah, don't be intimidated by this great city. They're out of control. And their wickedness has come before me. You need to go and tell them to get saved. So we give Jonah some credit because he's in a position to hear from God. Family, so important that we're praying every morning, that we have our 10-minute worship song, that we're praying, we're reading our scriptures, staying close to God. God, speak to my heart. How do I talk to my spouse? How do I talk to my kids? How do I handle myself on my job today? Send someone my way and give me the opportunity to share some hope in this world. God, I'm praying every morning because I don't know what the day might bring, but I know that God brings the day. And that's why we're praying every morning, staying close to God, so we can be in a position like Jonah was to hear from God, but then we have to be obedient to the word of God. So here were some of Jonah's issues. It's just like ours. I wonder, God tells us to get up and go, and we hear from him, but then we want to go in the opposite direction. And do we ignore the voice of God? God's been trying to get our attention all year. And now here we are distracted again. We go after the next shiny thing, and God is saying, I'm telling you, you need to listen to me and you need to follow my word. Don't get caught up in the distractions. God's been trying to get our attention all year. God's been trying to speak. It says the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord has been coming to us all year, and we've been trying to ignore it and we want to run from it. God is saying, I need you to listen. Get into the word and stay close to me. Now is not the time to let your guard down. Now is not the time to start worshiping people and running after people. Stay close to God. Listen to the word of God. Get yourself in position to hear from the word of God. So here's Jonah's issues. Number one, Jonah didn't like the people that God was sending him to. Number two, he didn't like what he was hearing from God. Number three, Jonah knew the nature of God. Listen to how Jonah is just conflicted. He didn't like what he was hearing. He didn't like the people. Number three, he knows the nature of God. And number four, he knows if the people repent that God would forgive them. And then number five, Jonah hated them so much. God help us this morning. Here's a prophet of God. And Jonah hated and disliked the people so much that he didn't want them to get saved. He didn't want them to get rescued by God. He didn't want them to get delivered by God. God, forgive us. If we dislike a certain people or person so much that we wouldn't want to minister to them because we don't want them to get saved. You hate your boss so much on the job, you say, I hope he or she dies and goes to hell. Isn't that something? You could care less, and you're a representative of Christ, and your attitude has to change. Your heart said has to change. You can't pick and choose. See, your problem's not with people, it's with God, because God tells us to go. God tells us to humble ourselves and pray. But see, my problem is I don't want to humble myself. My pride is taken over, and I'm not going to pray for them. So I'm in direct disobedience to God. It has nothing to do with your boss or your spouse or your kids or your coworkers. It has nothing to do with them, and everything to do with your relationship, your vertical relationship with God. And you want to be disobedient. And that's why you're frustrated. And that's why you're depressed. And you're stressed out because you refuse to line up with God. It's not about people. It's about you and God. It's not about people. It's about me and God. And that's Jonah's problem. Two of the main issues, let's sum up two of the major issues is Jonah's hate and his disobedience. And family, that's exhausting. To go around hating people and being disobedient to the voice of God, that's exhausting. Don't let that be your issue. Humble yourself. Jesus Christ told us in Matthew 5, 43 and 44. He told us, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but he said, Matthew 5, 40, you don't have to turn there because we did the other week. Matthew 5, 43 and 44. He said, love your enemies. Family, it's unconditional love. Why? Because God didn't put any conditions on us. We got to stop putting conditions on people and elevating ourselves above God. God says, I'll remember your sins no more. He's let it go. But we still want to hold on to people and elevate ourselves above God. He said, love your enemy. He said, God, you don't know what they did to me. God said, that's okay. Because you don't understand what I've done for you. When we understand the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, it's easy to forgive others. We weren't born like this. We were born into sin. God forgave us. And we have to be able to release others. He says, love your enemies. He said, bless those that curse you. He says, pray. He says, do good to them that hate you. Come on, God, this doesn't make sense. Right, because it's God. And see, your problem isn't with people. Your problem is with God because you don't want to do what God is telling you to do. You want to do like Jonah, and you want to go in the opposite direction. He was supposed to go to Nineveh. He goes to Tarshish. What is Nineveh is, I think I might have them mixed up, but Nineveh is west. Yeah, Nineveh's west. He goes northeast. You can't get more opposite than that. And you're going in the opposite direction too. Because God has told you, let me say it again, make a note of it. Matthew 5, 43 and 44, love your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them. Underline that. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you. We're not talking about being buddy-buddy and chum-chum like it used to be. No, that would be foolish. But I'm not holding any hate in my heart. And I'm able to pray for them. And I'm able to ask the God to change my heart as he's changing their heart. And I'm not holding any grudges. And I'm able to minister to them. I'm able to pray for them. Why? Because the word of God tells me to minister to them. And I can't be like Jonah and go the other way because of my hate and my disobedience, which is exhausting. It's exhausting to run from God. So God tells him in verse 2 to get up, go to Nineveh, that great city. The word get up means to stand up. In the Hebrew, it means to stand up and endure. Family, we got to stand up and endure. it's a journey. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon, and it's a journey with speed bumps along the way. But it's not a dead end. It's just a speed bump. And God says, stand up and endure. And I'm not going to tell you that it's easy. I'm not going to tell you that it's not one of the most difficult walks that you ever walk being a Christian. I'm not going to lie to you because it is. Remember in Matthew 7:13, it talks about the broad road. And then Matthew 7:14, it talks about the narrow, difficult road that leads to life with Christ in paradise. The broad road, everybody's on it. And it's a false road and it leads to destruction. And he says, many people will be on it. We're not part of the many. We are the few that's on the difficult road. And it's a difficult road. It's hard. It's tough. But it's the calling of God. And we have peace as we go through and we do it God's way. We have struggles. We have ups and downs. But as it also told us in Matthew chapter 7, that we've built our house on the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rock. And when the storms and the winds and the rain comes, we're not shaken because we're on the solid foundation of Christ. And if you notice, the house came, the winds and the storms came to both houses. One was built on sand. One was a sandcastle. The other one was built on the rock. So you got to deal with stuff. Whether you live in a sandcastle or whether you're standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. But the difference is that we can stand and endure because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Go on and push that share button. We're going deep, but we're not getting complicated this morning. Facebook family, go on and push that share. People need to hear this word this morning. He says, stand up, get up. And if there, family, if there ever was a time that we need to get up and endure, it's right now. It's right now, this season of life. It's a great city and it's great people. We make fun of a city. We'll call it Sin City, as if it's anything fun about going to a city and committing sin. And that God is pleased with that. He's not. There's great cities that need to hear from you. There's great people that need the word of hope. And that hope is in Jesus Christ. Because if you're participating, he said there in, at the end of verse 2, he said their wickedness has come up before him. And if you're in any type of wickedness, you know that it's miserable. God sees all the wickedness in the world. And that's why we need, desperately, we need the King of Kings. You need the King of Kings more than you need a president. Remember, one is eternal. One never fades away. One is going to die and fade away. Put your hope in Jesus Christ. That's our Savior. That's our Deliverer. Don't get distracted. Keep praying. We need to pray more now than ever. Because people are always looking for something to worship and someone to worship and to elevate above God. And that's dangerous for any country when you elevate anything above our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to pray now more than ever. I'm talking to believers. I'm talking about the mature Christians who know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, the answer, and the question to all of mankind's ills. We need to pray more than ever. Don't put your guard down. Don't get complacent. Be sober. Be vigilant. The adversary walks around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Keep your guard up. Pray more than ever. Trust God more than ever. Share the good news of Jesus Christ more than ever. Stand and endure. It's a tough road, but God's with us because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Remember, the most important election of your life, the most important election of your life is to elect Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your heart and your life. Elect, select, and choose Jesus Christ. If you haven't already, you need to do so this morning. Don't be deceived. Nothing saves but Jesus Christ, and he's already done it. He's already proved his love. He doesn't have to prove it. He's already resurrected, died and resurrected. And we have the physical evidence. We have the spiritual evidence, and we have the circumstantial evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Start there. It's not a hoax. It's not a joke. It's not fake news. Jesus Christ resurrected, and people are all shooken up saying, I don't know what happened after I die. Yes, you do. If you know the word, you do know, because Jesus died and resurrected, came from heaven, told us how to get to heaven, and then said he's coming back for those who don't transition through death to go to heaven. We do know what happens. The word of God is guaranteed by God. Don't walk around here as those that don't have hope. Share the good news of the gospel. If folks don't believe you, that's on them. But this word is tried and tested. You have many skeptics who want to question the validity of the word of God. Dead, in their grave, and gone. And look what's still here. The word of God, because in Matthew it says it'll never fade away. The word of God never fades away. Heaven and earth will, but not the word. That's why we can trust in it. The psalm says it's passed down from generation to generation, the goodness of God. We're still talking about it. And our kids and our grandkids and those after us, there'll always be someone sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whether someone believes it or not does not invalidate the word of God. The founder of the word is Jesus Christ. He's the one that resurrected. Never judge God by man or woman. We're all jacked up. We all need help. We all need a savior. That's why we preach Jesus Christ and not ourselves, because we're not the answer. The word of God is, and Jesus Christ is the answer. We need help. That's why it's important that you spend time with God. Spend quality time from God so you can hear from God. And if you say, Pastor, I just don't know how to do that, I need specifics, send me an email, life@southbayalc.com. I will give you specific steps and scriptures and songs that put you right in the presence of God and the mindset that you can hear as you're studying the word of God. It will touch your heart, because that's what God does. God says, if you seek me, you'll find me. I'll give you the scriptures to show you how to seek God and you find God. He says, when you seek me with your whole heart. God's not hiding from us. God's not hidden. The whole earth declares his glory. How do you think the sun came up this morning? because God allowed it to come up. God's glory is all around us. God's not hiding. God says, seek me, you'll find me. Stop making excuses and start seeking God. But see, this is the problem. God's going to tell me to go minister to some people that I don't like. God's going to tell me to go help someone that I don't want to help. And so since I don't want to hear that, I don't want to hear from God. I want to be like Jonah. I want to do my own thing. Let's keep going here this morning. And that's Matthew 24:35 that says heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word. And we know Jesus Christ is the word of God and was manifested word of God. Based on John 1:1 and John 1:14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's words will never pass away. The Word of God will never pass away. Make a note, Matthew 24:35. Look at verse 3. It says, but Jonah, it's a problem. God said, get up. Jonah rose up. It's the same word. He got up, but he went the wrong way, family. It doesn't matter if you get up and go the wrong way. It disqualifies you from being in the will of God when you get up and go the wrong way. It doesn't count is what I should say. It doesn't count. You got up. Okay, you got up, but you went the wrong way. It doesn't count. It does matter, but it doesn't count because I'm operating in disobedience. Because I don't like those folks. I don't want to have nothing to do with them. And I call myself a Christian. I call myself a disciple of Christ. Come on, family, we got to evaluate our heart. We got to mature. In 2020, we don't have the luxury of picking and choosing who we minister to. We have to minister to each and every one that God sends our way. We got to be mature Christians. The group of men that I meet with, we call it practicing Christians. You got to be practicing this thing. You can't be a Christian in theory only. You got to be a practicing Christian. You're a disciple. You're a follower of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says God's made us ambassadors. We're representatives of Christ. We represent Jesus Christ. I don't represent myself anymore. I represent Jesus Christ. I'm an ambassador. Remember, it's not an arrogance thing. It's an assignment. It's not something I gloat in because this comes with work, and he's going to send you places you don't want to go. He's going to ask you to do things you don't want to do because it's not about you. It's about God receiving the glory, and it's about us ministering to the least of these. And then Jesus said, you've done it to yourself. He said, when you came to prison and visit me, he said, when did I do that? They were trying to figure out when. He said, when you done it to the least of them, when I was naked, you clothed me. When I was hungry, you fed me. When I was sick, you came to visit me. They were trying to figure out, God, when did we do all this? He said, well, you've done it to the least of these. That's the assignment. We're ambassadors. It's not arrogance. It's an assignment. We listen to the voice of God and we do what God calls us to do. Jonah got up in verse 3. He got up, but he went the wrong way. And it doesn't count if you're out doing your own thing. And you're not listening to the word of God and the voice of God and being led by God. So important. I keep saying it over and over, but family, we don't have a day to waste. You have to spend time with God daily. You got to spend quality time. And see, it shouldn't be a problem because we spend quality time with those that we love. So if I love God, it's a joy. Trust me, it is a joy to wake up and spend time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And just cast all my cares upon God because I know that God cares for me. That I could trust God that in his time, he makes all things beautiful. See, that's where the trust comes in and the quality time and the love. And then you can go out and love and serve and help folks because you know God is sending you there. And it's a beautiful thing. And you talk about the world transforming overnight. If Christians just followed these principles, it would change the world overnight. We're waiting on God and God's waiting on us. We're having problems with people because we don't want to be obedient to God. And God's not the problem. We are because we refuse to humble ourselves and pray. What is it? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Humble yourself and pray. If my people would humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways. Right? If my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then God says, then I will hear, then I will forgive sin and heal the land. Family, we're upset with people, but remember our problem's not with people. It's with God. Jonah's problem aren't with these people. God told him to go. He didn't want to go. He didn't like the people. The people is not his problem. The people are not his problem. God's his problem because he doesn't like what God is telling him. It's most people. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to attend a church service because they don't want to hear what God has to say because God's going to tell them to do something that they don't want to do. And they want to stay in their pride and they want to stay in their arrogance. Remember, pride is what got Satan kicked out of heaven, and pride is what's going to keep a lot of people out of heaven because they want to do it their way. They want to do their own thing. They don't want to listen to God. They want to find another way. God, I know there's a better way to heaven than through you, and I'm going to find it. And that's arrogance and that's pride, and that's what keeps them out of heaven. Then they stand before God and try and make excuses as if they never knew. But in their heart, God sees right there the pride, the arrogance. It's not that you didn't know. You refused to go. You refuse to humble yourself. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee. He ran from God. he went west as opposed to northeast. Yes, he went west when he should have been going northeast. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh, my God. He wanted to flee from the presence, from the assignment, from the eyes of God. Got up to go. Whew. That's exhausting. Running from God, family, is exhausting. And then you run into all kind of things that really weren't meant for you. But your disobedience, you run into them through disobedience. It's hard enough when you're being obedient and you have to deal with issues. But when you're running into things because of disobedience, that's really exhausting. Frustrating and exhausting. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship. Underline, he found a ship. It took effort. he had to go and find it. That's why it's so exhausting, because you're finding ways to run from God. You're finding vices. You know what your vice is? Alcohol, drugs, money, sex, things, stuff, cars, houses, business, and in and of themselves, nothing's wrong with most of those things I just said. It's nothing wrong with being successful. It's nothing wrong with being prosperous. But when you're running from God and have those things take the place of God, that's a huge problem. That's disobedience. And that's a huge problem in the sight of God. And look, he found those things. He found the ship, which took effort, and then he paid. So we're paying for stuff. We're dishing out money to block out and drown out the voice of God so we don't have to hear from God. And Jonah wasn't walking, he was running. Jonah wasn't walking, he was running. I just wonder how many of us are running this morning. We refuse to just humble ourselves and get into a position to hear from God. Make a note. It takes effort to be disobedient. Make a note. Disobedience is a choice, just like obedience is a choice. That's why when we stand before God, we'll be without excuse. Disobedience is a choice. Disobedience is exhausting. Obedience is rewarding. Let me say it again. Disobedience is exhausting. Obedience is rewarding. Jonah didn't want to have anything to do with the N-word, Ninevites. Yeah, I'm not going to do anything. I will pay not to deal with certain folks. I will pay to live in a certain type of neighborhood. I will pay to live here and do this and do that so I don't have to. I will never minister to those folks. I will never say anything to those folks. And it's a shame that as Christians, they say the most segregated day of the week is Sunday. where we all go to our respective churches and don't interact with those that don't look like us, act like us, smell like us, live where we live. And I don't know if it's just a geographic thing or is it really a heart thing where I'm saying, I'm not going to deal with those folks because I don't like them. I don't care what God says, I'm not going to go. That's between you and God, your reasons for not wanting to interact with certain people. But you need to check yourself, because if it's based on hate and disobedience, then you got to check to see what God you're truly serving. We can't be Christians and refuse to share Christ with others, with our family, friends, co-workers, boss. Hey, we won't even pray for our boss, our elected officials, because we don't like him or her. Isn't that something? See, I'm talking to mature Christians now because, see, that's in direct disobedience to the word of God. Hey, look, the word can say it better than I can. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. What Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Go on and push the share button, Facebook family. See, this is where the word of God speaks loud and clear. This is our blueprint, how to live. Not conspiracy theories, not the news, not the opinions of others, but the word of God. Paul tells Timothy, first of all, I'm begging you that all supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all mankind. This is for my mature Christians. These are for those who are trying to live an obedient life to Christ. You don't pick and choose. Paul says, I'm begging you, Timothy. Timothy is a protege. He's a mentee of Paul. Paul is training him up in the faith of Jesus Christ, how to be a minister, how to be a pastor, how to go out and be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, man, I'm begging you. I don't care what the world is saying and what certain people are saying. He says, I'm begging you that first of all, supplication, which means request, petitions, intercessions and prayers. That means that you stand in the gap for somebody. You're praying for the leadership of this country, regardless of what aisle you're on. You're praying for your boss, regardless of how bad they treat you, because Jesus already told you to love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. This is why we line up with God. Our problem is not with people. Our problem is with God, because we refuse to do what the word of God is saying. And we see the results of it in our world today. People picking and choosing because that's what the world does. The word doesn't discriminate. God doesn't discriminate. People do. And people reject God because God doesn't reject anyone. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said he's praying for all people. The book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, it says some of everybody will be in heaven. Here's Timothy. Here's Paul to Timothy. He's saying, man, I'm begging you. I got some read this, so I'm going to read it. But let me just read the scripture again. He says, I'm begging you that first of all. This is how to be this is how to follow God. This is how to be a born again Christian, right? This is how to be as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. This is John 3:3, where it says you must be born again. You must be regenerated from above. If you're not regenerated from above, then you can't pray for everybody, because you still got biases and issues. The word of God is equitable. It settles all that. You love your neighbor and you love your enemy unconditionally, because God didn't put conditions on us. Wipes out the bias and the equity issue right there. You pray for everybody. And he says in the midst of that, look what he says, prayer and intercessions, which means you pray for them and you don't, they don't even have to know it. You just, that means what we call in our Christian terms, standing in the gap. Just like somebody prayed for you. Someone's praying for you now. They pray for your kids. They pray for your family. You don't even know it. They're praying for you like our grandparents did. They prayed for us and we didn't even know it. They prayed that we would get saved, that we would live a decent life, that we would connect with God, that we would do the right things. They're praying. That's what it means. He says intercessions and giving of thanks, and then you give thanks. Why do you give thanks? Because God has touched our hearts and God has saved us. Oh my gosh. And then Jesus Christ is praying for us. Look at this. Let's go there. Just keep your finger there. Family, look at even right now. Go to Romans 8 and 34. Look at Romans 8. Why should I pray for others? Because Jesus Christ is praying for you right now. Right now. Jesus Christ is on the right hand of the Father right now. Right next to the throne of God. And what is he doing up there? Look at Romans 8 and 34. He said he's not condemning you. He's not trying to punish you. That's too easy. God doesn't operate that way. We have the wrong idea of God. We have the wrong idea of God's word. Maybe it hasn't been taught right. But when you get into the word and you see the nature of God and the character of God, that's why Jonah was upset, because he knew that if he went to those people and preached the word of God and they repented, God would save them and forgive their sins. And he hated them so much, he didn't want to do it. But see, here we are in Romans 8 and 34, and it shows God is not out trying to punish people. Look what God is doing. See, and we just listen to the noise and we don't read the word. And I guess it's not being taught right, where you understand God is not out to get us. God loves us. And look what God is doing. God is praying for you and I, praying that we get through the struggle, praying that we trust him, praying that we love our neighbors and our enemies, praying that we do good to those that hate us, praying that we would bless those that curse us, praying that we continue to walk the way he walked when he was here, showing love and serving others, not to be served, but to serve others. So here we go, verse 34. Who is that can pause and who's condemning? Nope, God's not condemning. God's not trying to punish you. Look what he's doing. It is Christ that died. Yes, Christ died, but yeah, he lives, because he resurrected. He did die, but oh, don't stop there. He resurrected on that third day, and he's not out to punish you. Yeah, rather, it's risen again. Thank you, Lord, that he's risen again. Look at this. Underline this in your Bible if it's not underlined. Who is even at the right hand of God. Jesus is at the right hand of God, sitting next to God. What are they doing up there? They're not talking about you. They're not out to get you. They're not trying to plot and scheme, how are we going to get them? That's not what they're doing. Look what he's doing. He's on the right hand of God right now, and he's making intercessions for us. Oh, come on, family. When you understand the nature of God and the character of God, it's easy to forgive. Because you understand that God, you mean, after all the stuff I've done, I don't even have to go back too far. Last night, yesterday, out of all that, you mean you're still in heaven right now next to God, and you're praying for me? You're praying that I live an obedient life? You're praying that I go out and listen to you and serve others so they can see you in me, that the Holy Spirit of God will touch their heart because I'm feeding someone, because I'm helping someone, because I'm praying for someone, because I'm helping to clothe someone. You're praying that I would understand that God is a God of love and God is not trying to punish and spread that good news. You're praying that I understand that right now I'm the light of the world. We're the light of the world. And it's not arrogance. It's an assignment that we're ambassadors for Christ and we have to represent Christ well. You're praying for us right now. God, that's why we serve a good God. That's why God is, as the song said, the worship of God, that's why you deserve the glory. Because you're not talking about me behind my back. You're not stabbing and plotting me in my back. You're praying for me that I make it, that I understand how good you are, that I learn to trust you with all my heart and not lean to my own understanding, that I'll acknowledge you in all my ways. You're praying that if I acknowledge you in all my ways, that you will direct my path. You're praying that the light would turn on and I would see how good God is. And I worship God only, and I share that with others. You're praying for me and all your people right now that we get it. And then in 1 Timothy, let's go back there. Let's close in just a few minutes. Let's go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And then you're telling us, because I'm praying for you. Hear this, family. God says, because I'm praying for you, I need you to be praying for others. And family, that's what we really need to do that. We really need to be praying for others. Family, we have underestimated the power of prayer. If prayer wasn't as important as we just read it is, why would Jesus be praying for us right now? If it's not that important, he would be doing something that's more important. But he's praying for us right now. So family, he's telling us, let's read 1 Timothy 2 and 1 and 2, and then we'll stop there and then we'll pick it up next week. God, I love you for your word this morning. Give us instruction this morning, Lord. He says, I'm begging you that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks, underline giving of thanks, you do it with the right attitude. You're thanking God because it's a privilege to pray for somebody else. You got the right attitude when you're praying for others. You're not doing it begrudgingly or because it's a burden or because God's word says it. You're doing it because you're thankful that you have the privilege and the opportunity to pray for others. He said, get your mind right. Be grateful. Be thankful that you can pray for somebody else. As Christ is right now praying for you, that's how important it is. And it says, be made for all men, and that's mankind, which includes male, female, boy, girl, woman, whatever, all of mankind, all humanity. He says, be praying for it. And then look what he says in verse 2, for kings and all that are in authority, prominent position, all leaders. I don't care what side of the aisle you are. I don't care if that's your boss. Kids, that is your parents, because your parents are leaders over you. Kids, you need to be praying for your parents. Don't be complaining about your parents. Pray for your parents. It says, pray for all those that are in authority, our elected officials, city, county, state, nation, world officials. We're praying for everybody. We're not pointing fingers and gloating about this or that. We're praying. God, give us instruction this morning. And look what he says. Why do we do that? For kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet, come on now, and peaceable life in all godliness and truth. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desire that all men to be saved, verse 4, and come to the knowledge of the truth. We're going to unpack that next week. But God says we need to, that some of us are trying to figure out why we don't have a peaceable life, why we're not able to rest, why we don't have calm and quiet, because you're not praying for everyone. You're doing too much complaining. You're doing too much gossiping, too much backbiting, too much finger pointing, and you're not praying. And it's no quiet. It's always drama. It's always mess. And you like it messy so you can blame somebody else for where you are, because you're the one running from God. It has nothing to do with people and everything with how you live in your life and your disobedience and your hate for God and the word of God and certain people. And that's a problem. So as God's called us to pray, and we'll continue this next week, family, I'm so excited. Not about what's going on in the world, but the solution that we have in the word of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So God just impressed upon my heart for the next 7 days, family. It doesn't have to be anything long, right? 5 minutes a day. Put on your worship song. If you need a worship song, email me, life@southbayaosc.com. I'll email you a worship song. My brother Clarence emailed me a worship song last week or 2 weeks ago, just absolutely beautiful. And I emailed him another worship song, 5, 6, 7 minutes. Oh my gosh. Please email me, text me, and I'll send you a worship song that will change your whole perspective. And then for the next 7 days, be praying. Definitely praying for our country, but then praying for our city, praying for our parents. It says all leaders, all authority. We got to start praying for our parents, praying for our teachers. Praying for our principles. That's how we live a quiet and peaceable life, because we're praying and we're not pointing fingers. We're extending a hand and not pointing a finger. Next 7 days, family. Every morning, at your time, get up 5 minutes early. Don't try and, you don't have to overdo it 3 hours. No, I don't need to do anything. 5 minutes and just go to God. Say, God, I just want to pray for all authority. I'm going to start with the country, with the state, with the city. I'm going to pray for my parents. Going to pray for all parents. All parents know how hard it is to be a parent. One of the hardest things I've ever done is to raise kids, try and raise kids in a world that wants to raise them all any old kind of way. Pray for our parents. We got to pray for our parents. And then I want to give you just a couple of notes. If you want to see just some awesome prayers, 1 Kings chapter 8, in which we're studying in Bible study. I've been meditating on that. Oh, my gosh. 1 Kings chapter 8. The entire chapter. It will change and bless your life. And then Daniel chapter 9. Verses 3 through 19. Let me say it again. Daniel chapter 9, verses 3 through 19. What an incredible prayer. And then in the book of John, New Testament, John chapter 17, the prayer by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Incredible prayer. Family, we've been underestimating prayer. And I'm telling you, we need to pray to God for wisdom, for guidance, for direction. We can't get complacent. We can't let our guard down thinking the Savior's come any other way besides through Jesus Christ. Do not let your guard down. Pray for all those in authority. Don't point fingers. Don't talk about them. Don't try and stab them in the back. Start praying. And I'm talking to my mature Christians now. It's an assignment from God for the next 7 days. And then for those of us that are praying and fasting since January, every Sunday morning since January, continue on that. Let's come on Sunday mornings praying and fasting for a miracle, for a breakthrough, for this word of God to speak loud and clear. Oh, and I can't wait till next week and we'll pick up right here. Let us pray. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We bless you. We need you. God, you're calling us to pray. You're calling us not to discriminate, to rise above the foolishness and be true representations, true ambassadors of Jesus Christ, praying for all, discriminating against none, running to God and not running from you. So I'm just praying, Lord, that your body of Christ would rise up in these last days and be lights of the world and be representations of Christ through love and through servanthood, through kindness, through prayer, through intercessions, praying for their boss, praying for their parents, praying for the president, praying for the president-elect, praying for all those in Congress and Senate and state officials and city officials and county officials and our teachers. We lift up our teachers now, God, who are on the front line teaching kids during distant learning. We lift up the administrators, the principals, the counselors, God, we're praying there in authority, God, that we can live peaceably, a calm, peaceable life with all people, God, according to your word, which is guaranteed by God. We're just lifting them up now. We're praying for our pastors and our leaders, God. They would represent God and not themselves. They would represent the word of God and not opinions and conspiracy theories, but stick to the word of God and teach, rightly divide the word of God, teaching people to pray for all and discriminate against none and humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways so that you can hear and forgive and heal. God, we love you on today. Let us be doers of your word and not just hearers only. Bless your people. Bless us to live this, Lord. Step by step, bless us to live this, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you've joined in Zoom, or someone invites you to Zoom or Facebook, share it, and say, Pastor, I've never even accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't know how to pray. Well, here's one prayer that I'm going to give you right now. I want you to repeat after me. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for resurrecting for me. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Right now, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart and my life to be my Lord and Savior. Teach me, Lord, and take over my life. And help me to be the person, help me to stand up and endure so I can be the person that you created me to be. I don't reject you anymore. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood for me so that I could live. I embrace you. I receive you now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just prayed that prayer, please send me an email, life@southbayalc, so I can send you some information on new believer information, how to stay connected to God, how to stay connected to us, how to stay connected to a ministry that's teaching the Word of God. God's challenged us. Time is short. We're in the, some would say in the last days, we're for 1,000 days, or if a day is like a 1,000 days and 1,000 days is like a day, 1,000 years to the Lord, then whether in the last days or the last 1,000, it doesn't matter. What does matter is that we go out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with all that we encounter. That's what really matters, that we're representatives of Christ and we don't discriminate against all, but we unconditionally love and pray for all. We pray for everyone. Again, if you have a prayer need, prayer requests, praise report, life@southbayalc.com. Please go ahead and send an email and we'll be praying and we'll respond accordingly. And then Bible study, I'm so excited about Bible study. God is moving on Wednesday nights. So grateful and so thankful. And trust me, this Wednesday night, it was, you know, just right in the middle of the week. And we needed some hope and a break from all the noise. It's just a strategic to have it on Wednesday nights because so much goes on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. By Wednesday, you need to get your life back in biblical perspective. And God showed up through his word and just made an impact on all of our hearts. So Wednesday night is not just something to do. It's really just a time to put your week. So much happens from day to day. By Wednesday, boy, You could be wiped out, but then it allows us to put our life back in biblical perspective and get refreshed and renewed. And we rejoice in God's word and then we move on. So you want to be there. I'm telling you, 1 Kings chapter 8, this prayer is incredible. Come and listen to the instruction of God, the process and the procedure of prayer. And then you apply it to your life and watch God work in your life like never before. And then thank you again for your giving. It allows us to teach the gospel, to preach the gospel, to get the word out. And we're not going to compromise the word. People need the word today more than ever, family. And we're going to keep getting that word out. So thank you for your giving, whether that's via your laptop, your cell phone, or if you're mailing it in. We're just so grateful and so thankful. And then members, we'll have a members meeting next Sunday, 2 p.m., and give you some updates and just let you know what. We're serving God, and that's what we're going to keep doing. And we're going to keep moving forward in God. Facebook family, love you, appreciate you. Zoom family, love and appreciate you. South Bay Abundant Life Church family, love and appreciate you. So grateful, so thankful. Let's go out. Let's get into prayer. Stop underestimating the power of prayer. The more I pray, the less I complain. The more I pray, the more I see the hand of God moving. Prayer is saying, God, I trust you with the details. Family, we got to grow up. We got to pray and we got to trust God with the details. It's in God's timing. And it'll speak of that. We'll get into the timing of God next week. It speaks of that in 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll get there next week. But trust God's timing. Trust God's details. Trust God's process and procedures. And trust God to pray. If Jesus is praying for us right now, doesn't that tell you how important prayer is? And we should be praying for others. That's why the enemy tries to distract you all the time, because there's so much power in prayer. Humble yourself. Trust God. Seek God. Let's turn from our wicked ways so God can hear, forgive, and heal. Lift your hands if you can. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you. We thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, family. I look forward to seeing you Wednesday night. So excited about the word on Wednesday night. Look forward to seeing you Wednesday and then next Sunday. God bless you. Be strong. Pray for the next 7 days. God bless you.